بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. You notice that we are facing so much of tests in this world, so much of fitna and fasad, with all the best madrasas, Islamic schools, and you can say whatever you want to say, with all education, with the best of education, everything. But with all that, we are faced with so much of fitnas. What's the reason for that? All kinds of fitnas. It's obvious that the environment is not correct. It's not an Islamic environment. We have to have an Islamic environment back home, not in the madrasas. Because the madrasas start from home. If the madrasa at home is correct, then everything will be correct. But if the madrasa at home is not correct, they don't expect anything to happen. Today we want everything to happen outside. We cannot put the outside right. We can put our inside right. Our house is in order, then everything will be in order. In the early days you notice that we did not have so many schools and madrasas of all kinds. And yet we should go to schools of that kind where they were mixed. What was the reason for that? There was so much of, with all that, we were so punctual and consistent and being more perfect as far as our akhlaq is concerned, our namaz is concerned, everything is concerned, so much less education as far as madrasas are concerned. What is the reason for that? The reason for that is because our homes were correct. Our homes had that Islamic way of life. We have to have an Islamic way of life in our homes. You don't expect others to change you. You have to change at home how the mother and father, how they brought you up. How they brought you up, that's how you live. Look, in the early days it was this kind that no matter what it was, but there was so much of peace of mind, peace of heart, contentment at home. The little bit of food they should eat, not so much of money, but with all that there was peace of heart and peace of mind, contentment, tranquility. Where is that now? Every home got so much of money spent everywhere. Man has got so much of money in him, wealth everywhere. But there's no peace of mind at all. There's no peace of mind at all. What's the reason for that, that we've gone to that? That everything that we have in us, we've got nothing. Everything that we have in us. And the reason for this is this much. That the mothers of before were very concerned of the children. And today the mothers of today are not concerned of themselves or the children at all. Sorry to say that. They will get hurt, but they got time to waste. They haven't got time. You know, before it was like this. The woman did not wear a parda, but she was in parda. She was not in parda, she was in parda. She will not even open the front door if someone comes. She makes sure she does not go to any supermarket too. I know so many people who never wore a parda, but they were in parda. But today we are wearing parda, but this bare parda. The reason is because we wore parda for show. They say when a woman wears a parda, it must be so that the person doesn't say second time too. But the way they are donning themselves so much to that extent that the man wants to 10 times. You're drawing their attention all the time. So what kind of parda is that? They say that even my Hazrat was saying once in one Jummah Majlis, I think it was, the woman must even cover her hand too. That if she has to go to anywhere to, and someone has to see that hand, say, hey, so white hand this is. It'll attract him. Do anything that will not do something that will attract someone. Now our women are wearing all kinds of fashion pardas. That, you know, I must look like this and I must look like that. coat to look at. Whereas you're supposed to wear a parda of that kind that a person not look the second time to. So unfortunately, it is sad to say, they may not like it, but truth has to be told. What's the reason today that we are not progressing? That's the reason for that. And secondly, women must stay at home. They allow them to be stayed at home when it's necessary they leave the house. Without that to leave, it's not their work. Their work is to live in a house, but they must be given freedom in a house. They must be kept so happy in a house to that extent that they don't want to go out of the house. Those days it was different, that they were happy to stay in the house, and they made sure that you took care of the house too. The husband should take care of the wives too. Today they are misers today. With all the money they got, they cannot spend on the wives too. They can spend outside, they can't spend on the wife too. Allah gave them money, but unfortunately they did not spend it on the husband, on the wives. Spend in the correct way. They can spend for their friends. But when it comes to wives, to keep them happy, Nabi Karim says you give them expenses, one monthly expenses, what whole year you should give. What's the reason for that? I know one buzrug bichara, when his wife gets angry, he gives some money to her. She gets so happy. Jazakallah. So they will need something to keep them happy. Why don't we keep them happy like that too? Especially when you got it. When you haven't got it, something else. But when you got the thing, the easiest way to keep themselves, give some money to them. So at least they get happy, but keep them in your house. Not to go outside. If you want your wife to get spoiled, if you want your children to get spoiled, let them free. That is why today we have lost everything, because lost respect. There's no more respect for the parents, no more respect for the children. When a person comes to the house too, there's no respect at all. Before they should make salam. But now they got kalam. What they do? Cell phone. Khair, in a time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Karim should allow the women to come to this salah, but they should sit right in the back. They should sit right in the back. But that was a condition in the early days. But when the time of Sahaba Ikram, they stopped all that. Why didn't the time of Sahaba Ikram, when the time is so near to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so near to him, that the Sahaba stopped it? What's the reason for that to stop it? There must be some reason for that. That's why, you know, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she said that. The Nabi Karim starts to see the condition of women of that time. That time, they were not doing anything wrong. No, alhamdulillah. You cannot talk better of any sahaba. They're just looking at the condition of the sahaba, that women of that time, Nabi Karim would not allow them to the masjid. Who said that? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said that. So thereafter, it was now that they were completely stopped. And today, most of the masajid, they allow the women to come to the masjid. What is happening in the masjid? Tell me, I don't have to tell you. You come in there to make dua, to ask for forgiveness. Unfortunately, the masajid has become something else. You find a person, you find the women area, the men are going there too. You're sitting outside and talking. What kind of masjid is that? So we have given them the freedom of that kind, which will lead to commit all kind of sins and all. So this is what it is. He would have allowed, definitely not allowed. Who is a woman? What a woman's quality is supposed to be? The first quality of a woman is her heart must be very, very only desire for good deeds. Oh, my mothers and sisters, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying this. Imam Ghazali Rahman said this. The goodness of a woman, the quality of a woman is her heart is always think of good deeds. And second, what did he say? Sweet with the tongue, not with outsiders, with the insiders. Unfortunately, with outsiders, they're very sweet. But with the husband who is very close to her, and those family people who are close to, who is supposed to be good to them. Someone can be bad to you, but the sunnah of you must be good to those who are bad to you. The kamal of a person is good to a person who is bad to him. Because if a person is bad, good to you, and you good to him, he's a favor, it's a favor, there's no kamal. But someone says to you something, he swears you, it's vulgar and everything. But in return, you are so sweet to that person. Women haven't got that in them. When something happened 50 years ago, it will be kept up till now to go to the grave too. Some mistake they make, the khalas, it's one that whole, the good deeds that you have done, that's all forgotten. That one thing, they talk about it. The husband know about it too. Well, you know, but this is happening among the ladies also. That you are very good with the outsiders. Whereas you are supposed to be good with the insiders, with the family. We always say, you know, when a person gets married, I give the first advice as other Tanya says, that keep them separate. If you want to be good and happy, keep them separate. Never keep them together. Once Hazrat Thani, rahmatullah, his friend, you know, came to Hazrat, you know, I've got a big problem with my family, I don't know what to do, we stay together and all, I don't know what to do. He said, I'm telling you, stay separate, but don't take my name. Now he couldn't say anything, he told his father, I'm going, he said, more angry. Now, how, what to say, the situation, he took Hazrat's name there. The moment to Hazrat's name, he kept quiet. He allowed them to speak. But thereafter, the family became so strong, united. It's something you cannot talk about. And I've seen that whosoever we advise, always stay separate. But do me one favor, I'm giving you one tip, you know, because people make a lot of mistakes. You can stay separate, but be careful what you speak. No one will tell your wife's story to your mother, and don't tell your wife's, the mother's story to your wife. But many people have caused friction and disunity merely because of this. They're going to tell the mother, my wife said about you this, my wife said about you. But what are you doing to yourself? What are you doing? You're breaking the family. Always be good about each other. Likewise, you tell your wife the same thing too. Don't talk bad with your mother. Now, the people do not know how to save the situation. No matter how bad the mother talks to the wife, you must never tell your wife about it. No matter how bad your mother talks to your wife, do not tell if you want to unite. That is our duty today, unite, not to disunite. So one minute you are staying separate but not uniting. The unity that you stay separate but keep the peace is very important. No matter, you know, the easiest way out is sometimes a person is caught up in a mess, you know. He doesn't know how to come out from that puzzle. And the wife tell him, you know, your mother did this to me, your mother did that to me, and he's bringing a whole history story, and he just I don't know how to handle it. I'm going to do this. And say, I told him that, do me a favor, you go and tell your mother, I'm telling, I'm going to take her to task now, not tomorrow too. I'm going to, he's going to get angry, I'm going to take her to task. The moment I told my mother, I said, no, don't tell now. They are like that. And he told the wife the same thing too. The wife, I told him, you must tell the wife this much. The moment, you know, your mother this, your mother this, your mother, every your mother. I said, tell her this much then. Don't worry, I'm going now to tell her, not tomorrow too. They all say, please give it up. They don't talk. So they talk only, but they don't do anything. So we must know how to say the situation. Very important is to build up, make, not to break. It's very easy to break a family. Very easy to break a family. Make the family. You know, to break the heart too. The breaking the heart is a very, very dangerous thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abikam got in on Josh. He said, oh Aisha, speak what you want. Allah has opened the doors for me. Allah has opened the doors for me. Ask for whatever you want, you get it. Oh, she thought straight away, now Nabikam asking me that question, let me go and ask my father what I should ask. So he told her, can I ask my father? He said, yes, ask your father. He goes to Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. The rahmat of Josh is so strong, ask for whatever you want. What must I ask? Nabi Siddiq said, ask him, when the time you went to Miraj, and you met Allah Ta'ala, what you all spoke on that? What you all spoke? Khairi went, and she went, and told Nabi, smile, hey, what my friend asked for? Ooh. What he asked for too. And he said that whatever Nabi Karim says, you must report it to me directly, whatever he said. So Rasulullah said that one of the things that Allah Ta'ala spoke to me is that that person who broken hearts, build them together. Two broken hearts, you know, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Why I'm saying mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, that's the most one, that's the biggest one, that this heart is broken, that heart is broken too. Two broken hearts, two brothers, two Muslim brothers. If you mend them together on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will forgive you. Allah will forgive you. Two brothers. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard that, he cried. Say, oh, Father, why are you crying? Two broken hearts, we made in together. The sins are forgiven. You see, you're not looking. If two broken hearts, this will happen. If someone breaks someone's heart, what will happen to him? Later, turn on the other side of it. Take that coin the other side. If it breaks someone's heart, then what will be the position? You'll go to Jahannam. Allah Mari Father. How many hearts we are breaking? We are breaking many people's hearts. We're breaking our wife's heart. We're breaking our brother's heart. We're breaking friend's heart. So many hearts we're breaking. If you only remember this incident, you make Tawbah, Istighfar, ask for forgiveness. Just by that, Allah wants to forgive you by just mending to those hearts. So this is that, you know, sweet with the tongue. A woman's thing, the kamal of a woman is that she's sweet with the tongue. Not only that, she has got a heart that got only deen in her. And the third thing which he said, she is occupied at home. She is occupied at home. Woman's thing is to occupy that. If a woman is occupied at home all the time, she's never free for any time. But she's not looking for work anymore. You know why? Because the cell phone is there. The husband leaves in the morning. He's got a maid there. She's got everything. Husband moves, bichara, goes to work. When he comes back, he expects the home to be tidy. The home is not tidy because why? She's busy with someone on the phone. Whether she's speaking the right person, left or not talking, but she's speaking busy. What is she supposed to do? Occupy herself. Do work, something work. You know, the biggest kamal of a person is occupied all the time. The kamal of a person is occupied all the time. The woman is occupied, her pride must be the house. Everything her pride with the house. Before the house, the food is everything ready. Alhamdulillah, you get women of that kind, alhamdulillah. Let me tell you. You get women of that kind, they are so occupied at home, they don't know what's the meaning of a gym to. They don't know what the meaning of a coffee shop to. They just work all the time. Yes, one lady phoned me the other day and telling me, you know, I got no time at all. I'm so occupied. I said, mashallah. As long as you're occupied, your head is mashallah occupied too. Because if you're not occupied, then you become a devil's tool. That's exactly what's happening when the people become busy with their cell phones. Cell phones have destroyed the deen. Cell phones have destroyed character. Cell phones have destroyed everything. There's no social life anymore. There's a time when husband and wife, the family sit together and eat. There's no more Allah's name anymore. Everything has been broken now. There's no friends. There's no safety and peace of mind at home too. The husband comes so hard from work, he comes there, he's not at ease at all, no peace at all. Because why? She is busy with her thing, the children are busy with everything, there's no barakat at all. So they destroy the thing, social life, private life, all kind of life is destroyed the thing. So it's very, very bad. It's something you call it the worst plague or epidemic if you see in this world, is a cell phone. It's a cell phone. And remember one thing, the most pious person can get caught up in a cell phone too. You know, especially those views. He may be, you know, shaitan is something that he will mislead you. You'll be surprised. Shaitan said, I'm only behind those people who do, how I can mislead them. He said, this person in namaz, nothing to worry about. Let me get him now. He's looking at the cell phone. You know, I'm listening to one buzur bayan now, you know that. Listen bayan. Now, while listen bayan, you know, by mistake, one small button turned to something else. Shaitan said, I'll see it, man. What's wrong with you? The moment they see it, pious people who are supposed to be pious, those people who must have gone very close to the buzruks also, they also got caught up in this thing here. It is something can mislead anyone. I cannot trust myself to. Alhamdulillah. But try to keep away from it. This is a waba. It's a waba. It's a souk. It's a curse. It has brought what? It's got misery in our homes. Women are complaining. Men are complaining. Everyone complaining. Our namaz has been affected too. Our namaz has been affected. Everything is affected. Just because of this waba, this curse. It's a worst plague, you know. Cancer is nothing anymore. Cancer, if a person died, that would iman, inshallah. But this is what is worse than cancer. What will happen? So, you think is good there. So, there's so many things. That's why look at the benefit. Is there more benefit or more harm in it? You notice there's more harm in it. There's more harm. You must not look at it at all. Even if you are thinking of listen to bayan, don't listen to that book. There's other ways you can listen to bayans. But listen to that bayan in that thing there, it can mislead everyone. So the good you're thinking, you have to look at what is more harm. If there's more harms, then you must keep away from it. So this, at the moment, this is a problem with us. So the women got no time at home, no responsibility at all. No response at all. As Aisha radiallahu anha, Fatima radiallahu anha, Nabi Karim sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as Ali has come, this is a very famous hadith, came and informed that, you know, them slaves have come, ask your father to give one slave. When Rasulullah came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he came, she asked, oh Fatima, must I give something better than that? Why did he not allow her to get a slave? Because you must know when you do your work on your own, what is happening to you? You are occupied. He's teaching our women today too, but our women want to go to the gyms. They want to go outside. Those women who stay at home and they work hard, you see, their health is good too. They're free from all kinds of sickness too. They're free from all kinds of sickness too. But they don't want to listen. They don't listen. They want to go and meet friends, you know. This shop and coffee shop and all kinds of shop. But you don't know the harm is going to. If a woman keeps herself occupied at home, then she'll be free from all kinds of sins, all kinds of sickness too. And the most important thing, they'll be kept away from biting and futile talks. Every corner you find a woman sitting together, what they're talking? Futile talks and even if they're going to some kind of a function or some kind of jalsa too, they can't do any kind they're going to. They're going there, but more you look at it, the harm is after what they do. It's better for them that they must stay at home and stay happy. Stay at home and stay happy. That is more important. So that is what's happening today. I'm saying because the truth hurts, you know that. The truth hurts. It hurts. You rather get hurt here than getting hurt there. You rather get hurt here than getting hurt there. Allah saves us. Because when you get hurt there, there's no one to save you there. At least you can make tawbah istighfar and you can change your life. However, you know that one sahabi, he was going out and he told his wife, don't leave the house till I come back. Don't leave the house. Can you say that to your wife today? She'll take the car and move away. That's exactly what's happening to him, even if you're an alim too. She don't listen. Because you gave the key to her. You did. You gave the freedom. The man cannot even tell his wife, don't leave the house. Who are you? Whereas she must understand now, I'm going to read this hadith, the status of a husband. I'm not going to say make sajda. Because you know, there's the famous one, make sajda in front of her wife. I'm trying to say you what Rasulullah said this. If the women only come to know the outcome of this hadith, they will be very, very obedient to some husband, even if the husband is bad. One lady wrote to Hazaji, I am so pious, I am this and I am that, she praised her so much, and she said, my husband is a drunkard. She said, see how she is praising herself. See how she is praising herself. Since when can you praise yourself? After he is still a husband. If he is doing something wrong, he will be answerable. But does not allow you to do wrong too. You'll be questioned for answer for that too. So however, the Sahabi told, don't leave the house, come back. And in that time period, her father got very sick. Very sick. And she sent a message to Rasulullah that this is the situation, what must I do? He said, you can't leave the house. You cannot leave the house. Listen, oh my mothers and sisters, what's the meaning of this? It's a small thing, your father is passing away, like very sick, who is very close to you. You cannot leave. The husband said, do not leave the house. You're not supposed to leave the house. She did not leave. After 1-2 days, he passed away. She got sent a message. You cannot leave the house, husband not there. Husband came back. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wahi comes down. The woman, because she was obedient to the husband, Allah forgave her father. Allah forgave her father. If our mothers and sisters can only understand. Allah forgave the father only merely because she obeyed the husband for the right things. Don't obey for the wrong things. If a husband says, don't need namaz, you must read namaz. Husband says, go to this place, don't go, wrong place, don't go. Where he tells you not to go, is against the law of Allah, don't follow them. Your father and mother tell you to go against the law of Allah, Ta'ala, you can't follow them. So just imagine now, this is a situation today, that if a husband or wife must understand this, they may feel hurt, but I must tell it to you. If the husband tells you, do certain things, like for example, you find that we do so much, you know, the wives, they do so much for the outsiders. We don't know anything for the insiders. Because my mother-in-law did something to you, my sister-in-law did something, there's a grudge on all of that. The revenge all of that. That's not supposed to be. You are staying separate, but when you meet, become so close. How are you doing for the outsiders, do for the insiders? The insiders must do more. Because your husband, after the husband's mother, your husband's mother, that is, if the husband tells you, the wife, assist my mother. You don't know the hadith. Now they wake up like that now. What hadith they're talking about? The biggest hadith is this. When husband instructs, no, I don't say instruct, the word instruct doesn't look nice. Say to the husband, wife, do this work. She must look, that is my husband telling me, I must obey him. I'm going to look after his mother. Does not mean look after all the time. She's getting separate. But when you go to the house, at least take something with you. You're going empty-handed. But when you go to other friends' place, you take the best things. Likewise, you must take more better things for your mother and families, which is more important. Because who you hate and who are close, you must be more close to them. This is what we haven't got in us today. We tried and don't know how to balance ourselves. Many a time you notice this month that a person do not know how to save the situation. So this is what is worrying me now, that many people, they do not know how to save the situation, especially the mothers and the wives and mothers, how to control themselves. The wife becomes so obsessed sometimes that she begins to say, I don't want you to meet your speak to your mother and father too. How can you tell your husband do not meet your mother and father? If he goes to speak to mother and father, she becomes very agitated, you know, become very angry and all that. Where you saw that? She is more important in the mother-in-law's house than her own house. From this hadith we come to know. If she was so important, then she, Allah be Karim, allowed her to go. Did not allow. She said, no, you're still there because you belong to this house. So everything you belong to this house, then you must behave in this house. But it's obvious this mother, you get the other side of the side, stories too. Some people are very bad to the in-laws, man. Allahu Akbar. When he got married to a woman, that time was very good. When as time go by, they got no contact with the mother-in-law at all. No contact with that. That's not good. You must be good with everyone. They become so, because money, sometimes a person got money, you know. And he got married to a person that's not very rich. Now they're thinking, now, you know, I'm a rich person, I cannot keep good contact with a poor person. When you got a poor girl in your house, how come that time you accepted her? No matter what it is, your relationship with your in-laws must be very good. Your heart must be good with everyone. With everyone. It's very important. But I'm getting that kind of complaints too. But my dear ladies, my biggest complaint is we must learn to live in the house. Try to keep your house as clean as possible. Cleanliness next to godliness. Unfortunately, I get so many complaints, but I have to say it to you. The husband goes bichara walk early morning to work. He's got a maid in the house, he's got a wife in the house. When he comes, end of the day, the house is full of shambles. Now, what do you expect him to do? Even if you want to look at the wife, he cannot look at the wife too, because the house is in bad condition. Yet she got the whole day to put things right. She could have put the things right. She wanted to do it, she had put it right. It's very important to keep your house as clean as possible. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, keep your front of the house clean. If the front of your house is clean, then how much inside of the house is clean? But there is women, you know, one person told his wife, why are you doing that? I'm like that. I am like that. How can I do like that? Change yourself. Become clean. Try to keep your husband happy and try to... Cleanliness is very important. How you clean your body, you clean your house like that too. How be so clean that there's barakat in the house too. Muhabbat in the house too. So when the wives must understand that what the husband does not like, they must not do that. And they got the whole day to keep the house clean, but they got a maid also. They can keep the house there. But unfortunately, last minute cooks, you know. Last minute cook. Not the bichara. You know, you say, I want this food, but at the end of the day, he comes last minute cooks. Why? Because why? They're busy with their own things. They're busy. They got their own things. They got their chats with their friends. That friend going to help them. How much of guna is possible? So one side you know you are making Allah, Allah. One other side you are making all that. You are going to all the talims and all. And this is your biggest talim is your cell phone. You sleep with that thing. The husband comes next to you, you look at the cell phone, not his face. You look at other people's face, not look at the husband's face. This has gone to that extent. So I thought that let me tell you that this is what the reason is that today we got no much muhabbat in our families. No muhabbat, no izzat. We're reading namaz one side, so one side is noor and one side is nar. How do you expect nothing to change? Let us change our lives. And in a madrasa especially, they will never have a cell phone. Because the cell phone is taking away the iman in a tent, that is taking the noor away. Just imagine you're reading hadith and now the next time you've got a cell phone there. I think most of the students nowadays too, unfortunately, sorry, students, others, but generally those who got Quran and hadith, they are also reading, they're looking at all the filth and all that. So what do you expect then? They are the ones that are teaching the madrasas. So what kind of teaching that will be? They have to be more careful that I'm teaching Quran and hadith. I must not do anything wrong. That's more important. So the student of the madrasa, he's got no time to waste. So another thing that is called, when you got cell phone in your life, then you find time wasting. Time wasting. Even a lot of people, the students going to school and education and universities, they became completely lost because of cell phone. So every education has been lost because of cell phone. But the most important thing is we must keep away from cell phone. Our houses are full of cell phones. That's why we're going to the hell phones. To make dua to Allah Ta'ala. That we must have the conscience. Till you do not have conscience in your heart, you will continue doing the thing. Our work is to say it to you. Khuda kareem must come into your hearts. That you must not go near it. Because you're reading namaz one side, in a masjid too, I saw the day too, I was surprised, I was shocked. The man just opened his cell phone, like doing nothing in the masjid. The masjid has become a place of this. They say the masjid has become a place of bazaar. No doubt it is true. All this happening today. We have to stop it. So I said in the beginning, the madrasa is at home, not outside. You can send your child to the biggest madrasa, biggest darulum, everything. Madrasa is at home. At home, if you start from that minor age, teaching the child the correct things, inshallah, the barakat of that, the child can go anywhere, it's not effective. But if your house is not right, you can send him anywhere, it's not effective. Until you go and sit by some big buzuk, then maybe something effect will take place. To make dua to Allah Ta'ala, give the tawfiq of acting on those things and keeping away from this bala, I call it epidemic, it's a plague, which has killed the people as a curse to everyone. And I'm telling you without a word of lie, it's hurting. It's very hurting. You may take it very lightly. My dear friends, please don't take it lightly. It has damaged the children also. No more children, damaged everyone, every society in this thing. Yeah. Allahi father from us. Wa kunda alhamdulillah. الحمد لله الذي ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت اللهم نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب وصلى الله تعالى على كل سيدنا محمد برحمتك يا رب.